a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now, chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. You see how they're similar? But then the second part is different. Proverbs 10:10, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And here, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And I have written in the margin the name of a son who despised his mother. I'll tell you about that in the will of God later. Let's speak to the Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful for the things that your son personally spoke. We considered them this morning. But we make no apology for turning to the Old Testament, because I was told us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every word of God is pure, tried in the furnace. And we are so glad that that is the way that we look upon thy word. Let us know the irreverence, the indifference. Let us know that some look upon thy word and it has little importance to them unless it's something that they desire to have others to know. But we are thankful that all of it is important to us. So help us to hide thy word in our heart that we might not sin against thee. We thank you for this day that has given us rest. You've given us a time of fellowship together, remembering thy son, teaching the word, learning, fellowship, all of these things, our Father. For every spiritual and temporal blessing of life, we thank you. And we desire also something of purpose, good from thy hand this evening. That is so that we ate this morning, and we will probably eat again before the night is over. So let us long for thy word in like manner. Thou knowest our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse of all unrighteousness, as thou hast promised. And prepare the hearts of the listeners and the lips of him who speaks. Glorify the name of thy Son, and teach us wisdom, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What is so fascinating about the Word of God is that it is timeless. What I read in Proverbs is just as meaningful and is just as understandable to fathers and mothers today as it was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. If you think I was reading to you ancient literature, you would think that I was reading something that a psychiatrist or one that writes about family matters had written today. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Has anything changed in these hundreds of years? You say, no. A wise son still makes a glad father, and a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So whenever you have things that are unchanging, husbands, wives, children, trade, journeys, sowing, reaping, all of those things, the only difference is the variation between then and now. But when it comes to children, they have the ability to make the hearts of their parents glad or to make the heart of their parents sad. And this is what is brought out. Now, let me tell you, as I read this first verse, I read it this way, a wise son maketh a glad father. And the men would say, yes, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And the sisters might say, well, isn't he a heaviness to his father? Of course he is. Notice that sons are of fathers and mothers, and their wisdom or their folly affects both of them. It's not just that a man is affected by the behavior of his son, the mother is affected as well. And let me tell you something that is so humorous, that is so remarkable about this verse, that it speaks about a son, and it mentions his father and his mother. Do you realize that this verse would be meaningless to so many children that are in the world today because they have no fathers? Fatherless children. Who is your father? I don't know. I've never had one. And some women want children without fathers. And some are scoundrels and they leave their homes. But here, and let me encourage you fathers and mothers, to work together. Because it is the responsibility not only of the mother to care for the child, but for the father as well. Most of the time, the husbands make a living and they relegate the instructions of children to the mothers. But the Bible says, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, no, no, mothers, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But at the same time, let me encourage you, and here is a comment on the role of women. It says concerning a son, forget not the law of thy mother. You see, mothers are teaching children as well as fathers. Fathers, you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but understand that the mother in cooperation with the father also is teaching them the law. I heard what one Southerner said when another Southerner spoke to him about religion. He said, yes, he said, I got religion upon my mother's knee, and it is never departed from me. That's good in one way. If that religion was the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if it was the law from the scriptures, that's good. But what is so sad about what that man said was this. You are telling me about right and wrong. You are telling me about the way I should go, the things that I should abstain from. I want you to understand that I don't need these things from the Bible. My mother taught me right and wrong when I was being brought up. Now that's sad. Because this person felt that he didn't need the Bible. He didn't need the Lord Jesus. He didn't need religious training because he got it on his mother's knee. And that's all that was necessary. But you'll find from the scriptures, that's wrong. If a mother, with a child upon the knee, and remember, I'm glad that he put it that way, upon my mother's knee, the Lord Jesus says, you are my God upon my mother's breast. That is how young children should start, to have the word of God and right and wrong told to them. And this is what it says concerning Timothy, from an infant. That was known the Holy Scriptures. It says from a babe, but the word is from an infant that was known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So fathers and mothers start training their children before they can even speak words plainly. And I found that little children just learning to talk can be taught words. They can be taught the word Jesus. And they can be taught the word love. So why not teach them that their earliest memory be the name of Jesus and be the way of God. And then when they grow old, they can call back to mind. I told you that as a child, my mother sent me to Sunday school. She did what she thought was right in bringing me up religiously. And I never forgot the things that I learned, even though I do not recall the way of salvation being brought to my attention. I do remember the right and wrong that I was taught, and then later in my life, I thank God for those things that I knew. And so please notice that a child's behavior affects both father and mother. And I could read it this way. A wise son maketh a glad mother. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his father. Isn't that just as good and true? You say yes. And so here are parents. And this is what it says about Moses. It says, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents. Who knows his parents? Does any brother remember? Amram and Jochebed. In the New Testament, it says Moses' parents. It doesn't say Amram and Jochebed. It doesn't have to. If you knew the Old Testament, you would say, yes, Amram and Jochebed, the father of Moses and Aaron and Miriam, the older sister. So here are Moses' parents, and they were not afraid of the commandment of the king when they said to destroy the child, and please take that to heart. Now, there is no commandment to destroy the child, but there is a law that people would make universal that women can destroy their unborn children. But here was a command to destroy a child, and the father and mother risked their own lives to preserve the life of the child. But now, they will fight you to the death to have the right to murder their children. But this is what God expects. Look, it speaks of a father and a mother. And with one missing, the Bible speaks of the orphan, the fatherless. But now, if you read of the fatherless, someone today would say, I know all about that. But it's not one who had a father and his father died, but it's one who had an unknown father or whose father left and not being an orphan. But just remember those things, that God speaks of Christian families, and that is an advantage that you and I have that the world knows little or nothing about, having a father and having a mother, and they care about their children. Think of this, that children can make their father's heart glad, and they can make their mother's heart heavy, sad. So you think of that. Most children are only interested in how their fathers and mothers can make them glad. What can you do for me? But this portion speaks about what children can do for their father. Listen to what one son said. Tell me if you know who said this. One son said, I do always those things that please my father. Do you know whose son that was? You say, God's son. Yes. So remember, I speak to you from Proverbs, and they are earthly sons of earthly fathers and mothers. But they're also other fathers, our Father, which art in heaven. And it says that as Christ always did those things that pleased his Father, you and I have a twofold Father. We have our heavenly Father, and we have our earthly fathers. And we're to do things for both of them. As when there are the Caesar, the things that are Caesar's, and under God, the things that are God's, so we owe parental respect to our earthly fathers and mothers, and we owe a heavenly, a divine respect to our Father which art in heaven. But remember, in the book of Proverbs, it is so practical. It is a father, a mother on earth, an earthly son. And this is what children should remember, and this is what spiritual children of God should remember. I can make God glad. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That I can make God glad? Yes. I told you in past weeks. It says in Matthew 12, Behold my Son, my chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul delighteth. The Father looked down from heaven, and he said, My soul delights in my Son. God grant that we can be a delight to our Heavenly Father, but let it also be that we can be a delight on earth for our physical parents. Our Lord Jesus once grieved his mother and Joseph, but he did it, and it was a grief that was unnecessary. Our Savior loved the Word of God and discussion of the Scriptures so much that after the days of the feast had ended and his parents were going back to their home, the Lord Jesus stayed behind in the temple. And Mary said, Son, your father and I sought thee sorrowing. He said, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Do you see? Even Jesus brought sorrow to the mother. Yet it was the mother's fault. I assure you that most of the time, when sorrow is brought to a mother's heart, a father's heart, it is not their fault. It is the child's fault. But in this case, the Savior said, did you not know? There was a lack of understanding the uniqueness of this child. But children can bring sadness and they can bring joy to both the heart of their father and their mother. And so there can be gladness and there can be heaviness. And it says, a wise son maketh a glad father. All right. It says in chapter 15, the same except one brief contrast. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Do you realize that some children despise their parents? That they have no respect? I've seen children spit in the face of their parents. I've seen children strike out at their parents. And the name, I shall not mention his name, but I have it written down in my Bible, because when I was a young boy in the neighborhood, there was one boy, and his mother spoke to him, and I never forgot. I was the child of God then. I may have been 10 years old. And I heard him curse his mother. And I never forgot it. And I was startled when this boy, and I was unsaved, cursed his mother. And so here it speaks about a son that despises his mother. I'm so thankful that though looking over the life of my mother, I can think of times when I was grieved by things that she did. At the same time, I can think and rejoice that she did things for me. She worked. She made it possible for me to go to school, to have clothes. She did all those things for me. And so I did not despise my mother. I rejoice in that. Disappointments at times, yes, sorrows, but at the same time, I never despised her. And to think of cursing her or striking her was inconceivable. But the Bible speaks about those that despise their mother. And so I want you to bring up your children in such a way that they respect you. It says, children, obey your father and mother. Obey your parents and the Lord. This is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. That is true in the Old Testament and it's true in the New Testament. And so serious it is. I want you to see how serious it is to God that a child, if the child had not a great degree of mentality, still there is to be that parental respect. I will show you how important it is if you will turn to Deuteronomy. I want you to read this with me. This is how important it is to God. It says that a wise son maketh a glad father. But it speaks about a foolish son, and it speaks about a son that despiseth his mother. All right. In Deuteronomy 21, let's read this verse. Verse 18, we'll start. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, isn't that heartbreaking? Some fathers have stubborn and rebellious sons. They can't be characterized by wisdom. They're not wise sons. But the Bible plainly says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son that will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they chasten him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He was a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So shall they put away the evil from the midst of thee. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Let the people who live today read a portion like this, and they will rise up in anger to think that someone would speak of doing such a thing as this to a stubborn and rebellious son. It's the parent's fault because he is stubborn and rebellious. Don't you understand? But God says, honor thy father and thy mother. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And this was an option that the parents had that the child was incorrigible. But I rejoice to tell you this, two things. The Bible says that if a woman committed adultery, she was to be stoned. But I read of no occurrence of the woman ever being stoned. And I read that if a son is of this character, he is to be stoned. I never read of its being carried out by the elders of the city. But understand that God said, such disobedience, such incorrigible behavior is worthy of death. And God said, I permit it. Who are those that say, God said, thou shalt not kill? God just said that thou shalt kill. If adultery is committed, God says, stone. And if the son is incorrigible, God says, stone. Do you see? And yet they say, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. Yes, that's in the sense that thou shalt not murder. But it also says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And so there are those who know a little bit about the Bible, but they don't know what the Bible says again and again and again about reverence and parental respect and also the sanctity of marriage. So these are things I'm bringing to your attention. Isn't it sad? That while God tells us about wise sons, he tells us also about those that are just the opposite. And what I want to do now is to have you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 5 for this reason. 1 Kings chapter 5. And look at verse 7. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the word Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, who hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. That's beautiful. That David, who loved the children of God, he was like a shepherd to the children of God. What would happen when David died? It says, blessed be the Lord this day, who hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. That is a double blessing here in this wise son. Some of you have wise children, and do you know what they do? They take that wisdom, they're going to get the best education they have, and they care nothing for the people of God. They are not willing to carry on in the footsteps of their father, who was so kind to the people of God. And that is what happened, and I will show you this. Just turn back to 1 Samuel. I want you to see the contrast, because if you say, I wish I had a wise son, or I do have a wise son, look in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel at verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were base men. They knew not the Lord. So, if some of you have wise sons, say, thank God that as in the case of David, so in my case, you have given me a wise son. But if you have sons that are base, that are not wise, do not think that you are alone. Just as in the case of David, there were wise sons, so in the case of even Samuel, that great prophet of God, he had sons that were unworthy of him, and Eli had sons that were unworthy of him. And sad to say, and this is what breaks your heart, that God, while he gave David a wise son in Solomon, he gave him a murderous son in Absalom. And as Absalom wanted to honor his father and carry on the law and truth of God among the children of Israel, this was the wise son in Solomon. But his son Absalom wanted the throne, and he was prepared to murder his father. And so from the same loins can come forth a wise son and can come forth a murderous son. And so we have to commit it all to God, and we have to cry to God, and this is what I long for, that inasmuch as Paul did not have any physical children, still there were those like Timothy and Titus and Silas who could carry on after Paul died. And I could wish that there were those who I taught that could be grounded in the scripture, that God would give me wise children that would carry on. But sad to say, just as God says, look, He said, I did all these things for Israel. I taught them. But then, when they reach maturity, they forsook me. And this is what happens so often. You teach them what is right, and they will go along for a while until the way becomes difficult, and then they depart from you. It's like John Mark. John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, and all was fine until they came to Antioch. And then John Mark is a turncoat, and he says, I'm going back home. And sad to say, there are those that you teach, and they will go along. All is fine to have this knowledge and this grasp of the scriptures to be able to teach others until a crisis arises, and then what happens? Oh, what happens is that this son turns out to be not a Solomon, turns out to be like Absalom, turns out to be like John Mark, turns out to be like, and here is what I want you to see in another son. Turn to Genesis, and what is so interesting about this passage is that he's not just the son of the father and mother. Chapter 26 of Genesis, but he's a twin. Genesis 26. And it says, and when Esau was 40 years old, he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. And they were grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Do you see? And so here are children, and they go and they marry the wrong people. And it says they were a grief of mind unto both father and mother, Isaac and Rebekah. You see why God's word is essential for you to read. Now, all of these examples you have in the Bible. And if you are discouraged, you can read about David's son and say, oh God, make my son like Solomon. But then, if you do have a wise son, you're not able to sit back and say, now all is well, because you will find that Solomon in his old age, while being wise, departed from his own wisdom. We must have our souls filled with the knowledge of the Word of God so that we can understand the times to pray, the times to give God thanks, the times that we are to fear to know what to ask God for when it comes to wise and when it comes to foolish sons. I'm telling you all of these things because David's wise son is the one who wrote so many of these proverbs in this book of which I read. All right, now, turn back to the Proverbs. And notice again, you see I've expanded this brief comment on sons and foolish sons. Wise and foolish. 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father. Was David glad when he had Solomon to follow in his footsteps? It comforted his heart. To see before he died that Solomon was going to be king, and he was going to be a king, and he was going to rule in righteousness. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial glory. David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected of men, having a few that followed him now. But Solomon is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ when he establishes his millennial kingdom. It speaks about Solomon and all his glory. So David is a type of Christ in rejection, Solomon a type of Christ in glory. David and Solomon. So here is Solomon, and he speaks about how a son can make glad or sad father and mother. It says that in 15. Now, I'll have to show you some others. Turn to chapter 13, verse 1. I'll tell you now, in case I don't get to all of these things, there are three distinct marks of a wise son. First of all, there is attentiveness to what his father says. There is industry in the work that he does in the world. And there is obedience to the word of God. And so if you have a son that is attentive to what you say, who will get out and work and is industrious in a practical way, and one who will obey the word of God, you have a wise son. and you should thank God for that son. And that's what post-apostolic strategetic sons to do. Listen to me, son. Listen to me, son. We're going to read about an attentive son, one that hearkens to his father. And, son, I want you to go and I want you to get this work done. I know a full-time brother. He was telling everybody, son, he said, I will send my son out and I'll have him to do the lawn. And when I come back, the lawn isn't done. And I'll say, why? He said, the lawnmower broke down and I can't do anything about it. He always has some reason. And so here was the son, and he wasn't industrious. And alas, here are other sons, and they don't know what God says. And if they did, they wouldn't obey it. But the threefold mark of a wise son among these that I'm telling you is attentiveness to his father's instructions, industry when it comes to practical work in this world, and also obedience to the word of God. So let's see verse 1 of chapter 13. This is the attentiveness. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. How many times have fathers been speaking to their children, and you can apply it, mothers to daughters as well, and you have to say, now listen to me, because you can tell that that child is not paying any attention, but it says, listen to me. But it says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. And some will listen attentively. And it speaks about Samuel letting none of God's words fall to the ground. And that is fine. And so a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scoffer heareth not with you. You understand that fathers were made to correct children, to give rebuke, and you understand that if your son is wise, he will be attentive and hearken to what you say. But look, why do you think the contrast is this? But a scoffer heareth not rebuke. Because some are not going to listen to any rebukes that you give. And God knows of these two classes. A wise son who listens and learns from his father. And the contrasting son who is a scoffer and he heareth not rebuke. And God says the same to us. That is what is so sad. As we say, yes, I have children. I know children that are that way. Well, God would say, yes, I know children that way. You and me. Because it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I scourge. And so, do you see, the Lord Jesus has to rebuke. And we are not to scorn, and we are not to despise or esteem lightly the chastening of the Lord. But what are we to do? We are to be exercised by that chastening of the Lord. But if not, then we are scoffers. And what happens when we scoff? Then there is no peaceable fruit of righteousness yielded. Why? Because we haven't been exercised thereby. I can only tell you this much. We have to pass on. A wise son attentive to his father's instruction. Scoffer heareth not his mother. Now, go to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And look at verse 15. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart will be glad, even mine. Yea, my heart will rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Now, grasp this. I've been reading you what God's word says to son and about son. But here, it is a father speaking to his son. You understand that? Listen. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart will be glad, even mine. Have you fathers, have you mothers ever said to your children, my son, my daughter, if your heart be wise, my heart will be glad. Have you ever told them what will make you glad? You say, am I to do that? Why, of course you are. Listen, my son, if thy heart be wise, my heart, even mine, will be glad. Yea, my heart will rejoice when thy lips speak right things. You say, I want joy from my children. Then tell them what's going to give you joy. Do you understand? When your lips speak right things, my heart will rejoice. And I'm telling you, my son, if you turn out to be wise in heart, my heart will be glad, even mine. So here is a father conversing with his son. How little conversation there is between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. How little conversation. But if a mother, at the right time, in a wise way, if a father, at the right time, in the right way, says, son, I want you to make me the happiest father in the world. How? By trusting Christ as your Savior, by doing good, by applying yourself. That'll make me so glad. You understand? Not only is God glad, but the father, the mother, they're glad as well. All right, look down at verse 19. Hear, thou my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Here is a father telling his son what to do. There are some who tell their children nothing. Here is a father who is telling his son how to be wise. Hear, my son, be wise, guide thy heart in the way. He's encouraging his son to go in the ways of God, the way of rectitude, the way of righteousness, the way of walking with God as Enoch did. Now listen, he tells him also the contrary part. Be not among winebibbers, among gluttonous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You understand? Here is a father who is telling his child what is right and wrong, the way he should go, and he's encouraging and exhorting his son to listen to him and listen to his mother as well. And so you say, I'm supposed to do that? This is the pattern that is set before us. Of course you are. And God forbid that a child would ever say, you never told me these things. Well, here are the things that you should have told your child to have provided before hard times come to pass. All right, look now at verse 24. It says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child will have joy of him. Here again, the father, the child, the joy. Here is one who begets a wise son, and the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. That's what gives the most joy. If a Christian father has a son that turns out to be righteous, that makes glad, that makes joyful the heart of his father. All right, turn to chapter 27, and look at verse 11. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Do you know that some fathers and mothers reproach because of the behavior of their children? I can say, I remember when the neighbors would come over and tell my mother something I'd been doing wrong. And so my mother didn't have any answer to those that reproached her because I'd done something that was wrong. But the father is pleading this, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. Why? That I may answer him that reproacheth thee. It's so good if a neighbor complains about something your child has done, and you understand that that child has not done wrong. He was doing what you told him to do, and you can say that his behavior was correct, and you are able to answer him that reproaches you. And so you as a father can say, you are just wasting your breath. You are falsely criticizing my son who has done right. Oh, that all fathers and mothers had an answer to them that are reproached because of what their children do wrong. Now, I venture to say this. If someone comes and tells you that your child has done wrong, why, the parent is outraged that you would come and do such a thing. I think of the contrast. Now, if a teacher says that a child has done something wrong in school, the parents are ready to rise up and have the church, the person removed from the job. If a teacher were going to tell my mother something I did wrong in school, I was scared to death. I would do anything rather than have that told. But now the teachers are afraid to tell the parents of anything that their children have done wrong. All right, just this. Look at chapter 28, verse 7. It says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of gluttons shameth is Father. And so you have fathers that are glad fathers, fathers that are able to justify the actions of their children, and you have fathers that are shamed. So, this is the great variety, and God brings it to our attention. Wise sons and otherwise sons. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that when we look on our life down here, we understand, and yet we look on our life down here in relation to you in heaven, and we are compelled to be ever so tender and compassionate and slow to anger, because, our Father, we think of the things that we have done that have displeased you in heaven. Forgive us as thy children, and then help all who are here to have children that bring gladness to the hearts of their fathers and mothers. Let there not be heaviness, let there not be shame, let there not be parents who have no answer to give to those that may reproach them because of their children, but let them have children who act with rectitude and righteousness and obedience, and give us wise children, industrious children. Make our hearts glad, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.